Tim out there before, and he said he wanted to get to you, Doug, before I did, so he'd get me to read the whole chapter. Yeah, he's good like that, my nephew. Oh, wait, let's get serious. This morning I'm going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. I got the King James Version. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Good morning. So thankful you're here this morning. So thankful that you've decided to worship God together with us. We encourage you, come back this evening at 5 p.m. for our second service. And as you see, we have a slight change to our action plan. We're now going to dive into our reading plan, which will help us with our future action plan. And part of our reading plan for the rest of this year is going to consist of these three books. This morning, we're going to start in Hebrews. We've already opened up in John, and on Wednesday nights, we've opened up in Revelation. So there's your reading schedule for the year, and you can begin to read those books as we dive into lessons concerning these three books. So Hebrews will be Sunday morning, John will be Sunday nights, and on Wednesdays, we'll go through the book of Revelation, which we've already begun. So there you have our reading plan for 2022. And so we're going to open up with Hebrews this morning. So the book of Hebrews, kind of a unique book in the New Testament. It doesn't have the name of the author. It doesn't have the name of the recipients. There's no specific location that we know of that the book has within it. We can take some guesses as to where it was written, who it was written to, who the author was or the penman was, but it certainly doesn't read like your normal letter or epistle would. It's slightly different. It reads more like a sermon. And if you read this in your own time, it's going to take you anywhere from 35 to 45 minutes to read this sermon. So anyone who complains about my 25-plus minute sermons, this is the standard, the book of Hebrews. No, this we're going to try to find a balance between these two things. So the book of Hebrews, again, we have no specific person who authorizes it. All we know is that it is a word of exhortation. That's why many feel as though it is a book of, it's a sermon, or it reads more like a sermon would. Our lesson this morning, verses 1 through 3, who are we listening to and why? Kind of a profound statement, because everybody here, whether we realize it or not, has an ear for somebody, towards someone, maybe towards something. You know, it's interesting, when I was younger, you would see typically two groups of people out in the communities or neighborhoods, and even when I moved here to Nashville, you would see just a few different groups who were going door to door to people's homes. One group was on their bicycles, and they had helmets, white t-shirts with black ties, and they approached our house when my parents had first moved to Smyrna, Tennessee. I was at the bottom of the driveway, and they approached the house, and they were Mormons. And I was fascinated at their belief. They gave me a copy of the Book of Mormon, which is referred to as another New Testament of Jesus Christ. And as I read through it, I got to talk to these individuals, you get to see the appeal. These individuals have a great fervor. They're very passionate about what they believe in. Even though when you look into the doctrine and the teachings itself, It's very fanciful, and it's out of touch, and it has outlandish claims. Still, these people are given an ear to the person who penned that. His name is Joseph Smith. And they hold to what Joseph Smith says verbatim, word for word. They believe it wholeheartedly because they're so willing to give an ear to this individual or to Brigham Young or to any other of the prophets or apostles that they have in their church community. They're so willing to listen to these people. And as I began to think how crazy it is to listen to a person like that, I suddenly realized we're all listening to someone. Everyone here has someone that they refer to as either their guru, their teacher, their student and a follower of this individual they give attention to, and whoever you're listening to is what you're going to become. If you say here, well, I don't have anyone I follow, well, some people are news junkies. They watch the television. And that television can then become your teacher. You're going to be absorbing that information that it's feeding you, and you're going to be acting it out and living it in your life. For some of you, it may not be a news network. Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's Facebook. Maybe it's Instagram. Maybe it's this new thing called the TikTok. You give into it. You feed off of the information that they're giving you. And before long, you'll start living out the stuff you intake, the information you compute. You're going to start becoming what you're listening to. So maybe it's not social media. Maybe it's not just a news outlet. Maybe it's a musician. Maybe it's a pop culture icon that you're following. Whatever information they're posting, things that they like, the dislikes that they have, you're going to end up following them as well. Maybe it's a blogger. Maybe it's this new thing like podcasting. Many people, when they drive in their cars, when they're walking around throughout their house doing chores or cutting their grass, whatever they're doing, they have headphones in, and guess what they're listening to? A podcast. And they're taking in that information, and they're going to begin to live it out whether they like it or not. That's because that's who they're paying attention to and they're focused on. Well, maybe it's not a news outlet. Maybe it's not social media. Maybe it's not a blogger or a podcaster. Maybe it's none of those things. Maybe it's someone who's a little bit closer to home. Maybe it's a doctor. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's your friend, your spouse, your priest, your reverend. How about this one? It might just be your pastor. And unfortunately, we're getting to a time, it may be a preacher who's not following the dictates from the scriptures. And if it's a family dog, then we got to talk. We need to go through counseling together. Who are you listening to? Who are you giving your ear and attention to? You know, this is where the Hebrew book is called one of the best pieces of literature that you can find, especially in the New Testament. The opening to the book of Hebrews is extremely powerful, and this is what the writer's focused on. Who are you listening to, and why? It should only be Jesus Christ that you're listening to, and unfortunately, it's not. You should be giving your ear and attention strictly to Jesus. So it's Jesus that we go to, because Jesus is the one that the Hebrews writer tells us, which we're going to read in a moment, which was so capably read for us a moment ago. But what he's going to say is Jesus has the final and full word and message from God. In essence, it's like reading that bridge out ahead sign. Jesus is the end. There's no place to go past Christ. And if you go past Christ, then you're leading to impending destruction. Jesus is the only one that we should listen to. Jesus is the one that we should ask and listen to when it comes to things like when it concerns our social environment, when it comes to weakness, suffering, faithfulness, obedience, when it comes to corruption, when it comes to Moral decline when it comes to conflict resolution, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to church. We go to Jesus, and you know what's sad about it? We don't do that. We don't do that. Your marital status, who do you go to? You go to the Scriptures? I doubt it. One church, who do you go to? I'm going to the pastor. I'm going to the preacher. I'm going to the priest. I'm certainly not going to go to Jesus. When it comes to your friends and the company that you hold, who do you go to for that information? Do you go to Jesus? In our social environment today, in the direction that our world is heading, it would do the bride of Christ a lot of good to give her full attention to her husband like never before. Now is the time, if you've never focused wholeheartedly on Jesus, now is the time in the environment that we're in to listen to Jesus and Jesus only. He's the only one who we should be giving our attention to. Now, for many of you, he may be this mystery man. I don't really know who Jesus is. I don't know how he sounds. I don't know what his voice is like. I don't know who Jesus is. He's still an enigma to me. He's still someone that I fully don't grasp. I don't know all of his teachings. I fully don't understand who this individual is that I should be paying so close attention to. Well, that's what Hebrews is trying to clear up for us. See, these Christians, these Hebrew Christians who were Christians, were tempted to leave Jesus. They were tempted to leave him. And the Hebrews writer is going to say, don't leave Christ, don't leave his message of salvation that he gives us, and go to anything else. Because now they're tempted because they've become stagnant in their faith and they've lost their ear for Jesus. And so the writer is reminding them, no, you need to come back to Jesus. You need to start listening to Christ once again when it comes to any questions you have in life and it comes to any guidance or direction that you need. Go back to Jesus. But unfortunately, these Christians had grown weary. And that tends to happen when we get to familiarity, right? One example I heard was, and this is unfortunately true for all of us, when you're dating someone and they give you information or they ask you questions or you're in dialogue or you're spending time with one another, as a husband or a future husband, as a person who's trying to win the love and devotion of a woman, you're giving her a full attention, right? You hang on every word she says. You're trying to understand her likes and dislikes. So you listen with careful abandonment. You're focused solely on everything that she ends up saying. You marry her and you skip 10 years down the marriage line, right? You're working on something, your wife comes in and she says something to you, and what do we as husbands do? Oh yeah, right, absolutely, right? And then she comes back a week later and she says, we've had several conversations about, were you not listening to me? Were you not paying attention to what I said? And so there's something with spending too much time with someone or familiarity with someone that you can begin to stop listening to them. And that's exactly what had happened to these Christians. They have been Christians for roughly 25 years, and they stopped listening to Jesus. And he became like this mystery individual who they didn't know. So that's what we want to try to answer today. Who are you listening to and why? So when the writer says, listen to Jesus, he's been the final spokesperson for God, our question is naturally this: why would I listen to Jesus? Why do I have to give him such full attention? Let's open our Bibles, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. And we're going to notice several contrasts that the writer gives us. Jesus is greater than, he's better than. And here's the first one that he gives us. Hebrews 1 and verse 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So that's the comparison that he initially gives us. These prophets were incomplete representatives of God. They were giving revelation. They were spokespersons for God through progressive revelation. They were giving it in portions and in pieces. So they were not perfect. And he says, but now in these last times, because Jews viewed history and time with two epochs, former times and end times, and in these last days, in the last Christian age that we're under, he has spoken to us by his Son, not the prophets. In essence, Jesus is greater than the prophets. So if you're still wondering why you should listen to Jesus, he goes into his credentials and he gives us seven reasons why we should be paying attention to Jesus. Here's the first one that he gives us. Jesus is heir of all things. Now, you could apply any name to this, but I want to give you two. Imagine for a moment your last name was Buffett. And you're not related to Jimmy Buffett, but you're related to Warren Buffett. Okay, if that's not enough for you, imagine that your last name was Walton for a moment. How much differently would you view your life, right? Typically, when we think of this wording, heir of all things, when we think of an inheritance and a person being heir, we think in terms of wealth. But the writer puts a different spin on it for us. Actually, when he says he's heir of all things, it's in reference to his position and his authority to Jesus Christ's rule. So he's giving us more information about what Jesus has inherited from the Father, and it takes on a whole different meaning for us. So Jesus has taken possession of what? All things. That's wealth. That includes everything in this world. So Jesus has this position of authority and rule. This has reference to royalty. Jesus is heir of what? Everything. There's not one thing that does not belong to Jesus. And so if that's not a good enough reason for you, he takes it a step further. He says, Jesus made everything. He made the world. So he's part of he's a creator. And he was there with the Godhead. He was there with the Father. He was there with the Spirit in the creation process. And this corresponds perfectly with John 1:1. In essence, he's telling us not only is he royalty and he inherited everything that you see, including position and authority and rule, but this is the person who created everything. He made the world. And he goes on in number 3. He says, well, if that's not enough for you, what about this? He is the brightness of his glory. Some translations say radiance of his glory. In all of the research that I did, I think this fits the best, this illustration, and it makes the most sense because many people were giving this explanation. They said this, that this language is just like a sunbeam. As a sunbeam conveys the sun's power to the earth, Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but I would include myself in this. Growing up as a kid, when your parents said, don't stare at the sun, what did you typically do? When the eclipse was happening, how tempted were you to look at the eclipse when it took place, right? Some people tried to put on glasses. I remember cutting a hole in a piece of paper and putting it behind another one and so you could see the eclipse, but that wasn't good enough. Like, I just wanted to get one quick peek at the eclipse. Just like we can't stare at the sun, nor can we stare directly into God's full glory. It's too much for us. But just like we can remain in the sun's rays and we can gaze upon it or be in it safely and enjoy its warmth, we too can have safety in Jesus and live in his rays or his sunbeams and still enjoy the Father's glory in his presence. So the writer says, if the brightness of his glory, if the radiance of his glory is not enough for you, let's take it one step further. Jesus Christ is the express image of his person. What does that mean? He is the imprint. He is the exact character. So the Greek word is actually charakter, and it means character. That's where we get our English word from it. And so he is the one who bears the Father's image. Most of the imagery that we get from this is when you look at a dollar bill, you see pictures of dead presidents on our money and our coins. Well, this is what they used to do back in the day with the coins of old. They would have an emperor or a king or whatever ruler. You would see his image stamped on that coin. And just like you would see his image stamped direct on that coin or on that dollar bill, Jesus is actually the exact representation of the Father. So he's not just the stamp, but he is the image itself that makes the stamp. In essence, Jesus is not just like, or doesn't just resemble his Father. Jesus is exactly like the Father. And didn't Jesus say that to many of his disciples? If you've seen me, you've seen whom? You've seen the Father. So what is the writer of Hebrews beginning to tell us here? Jesus is God. If you want to know what God is like, if you want to know what God sounds like, if you want to know what God would say to you and me, listen to Jesus. If you have any questions that pertain to life, you listen to Christ. And many people are unwilling to do that. They refuse to do that. Jesus is God. If you want to know what the Father thinks, listen to Jesus, because he's exactly like the Father. He upholds all things. Upholding all things. So Jesus is not doing this through strenuous physical effort. He's not just holding the universe on his shoulders like Atlas would. You've seen that image where he's holding the universe on his back. Jesus is not doing that through physical effort. But look what the writer says in verse 3 of Hebrews 1. He is upholding all things by the word of his power. So he's reminding us once again, Jesus is one that we should give our listening ear to. Jesus is the one that we should pay attention to. And what's so wonderful about the study of Hebrews is he takes it from this cosmic level. He says Jesus is upholding all things by the power of his word. And he's going to go on through the remaining chapters, and Jesus, with that powerful word of his, is going to call people his brethren. He's going to call them family. Jesus is going to go on with that powerful word of his, and he's going to intercede for us. Jesus, with that powerful word, is going to go on, and he's going to call us to obedience. So again, it begs the question, are you listening to him? Are you giving him your ear? Or are you listening to someone or something else? Next, his mission as a priest. When he had by himself purged our sins. Now, I recognize that the word priest is not found here, but this is going to take up a majority of the book because this is going to be the biggest concept that he's going to cover. And if you want to say that the book of Hebrews, what has it contributed to the New Testament? It's probably the priestly discussion and the role of Jesus as our high priest in his comparison with Melchizedek is probably its best and most well-known contribution to the New Testament that we have. And he brings it up here. This is part of what Jesus did as his role as high priest. He purged our sins. So this reminds us of the Day of Atonement, and it brings to mind Jesus, who purged our sins by dying for the cross. So he went to the throne of God, he went to the altar, and what did he offer? Not an animal, he offered himself. So Jesus purged, he cleansed us of our sins. And so there's two things I want us to consider just with this concept here, because I think it's become lost in our world today, and it's this idea, and it goes back to why people won't listen to Jesus. When you consider his priestly role in him purging our sins, Do you think today our community or our society has a problem with understanding how harmful or dangerous sin really is? We excuse our sins, we justify our sins, we ignore our sins, we abandon our sins by trying to act like they don't exist or that we don't have them. This is something that we need to camp out on and fully understand. Jesus purged our sins. Why? Because sins are so horrific and disgusting. But many people don't view it that way today. We don't understand how disgusting and awful sins are. And then number two, we don't understand the high cost that was paid for our sins. And that's part of what he's saying here. Jesus' priestly role, it cost him his life. And so how do we get a good concept and understanding of how awful sin is? One illustration that I read was this, and many of you, if you've seen The Shawshank Redemption, you got to see Andy Dufresne when he escaped from prison. He crawled through that sewer pipe all the way to his freedom. And as you're watching that sin, just like me, you're probably cringing and thinking, oh, that would be horrible. That's disgusting. A person crawling through 500 yards of sewer pipe just to get to his freedom, it's horrific. But if you're a parent here, then maybe you can understand this as well. Babies, when they're early on, it's not so bad. But as they grow and they develop, changing diapers is disgusting. And it becomes a nasty business. And if you really want to have an argument or dispute with your wife, it's typically over a two-year-old's diaper. Nobody wants to change it. You know why? Because it is, and let's just be real for a moment, it's disgusting. Nobody wants to get into that business. And that relates to our sin. Sin was so disgusting, nobody wanted to get their hands dirty to remove it. Jesus did. And that's part of his priestly function. He was willing to go where no man would go before. And he got his hands dirty. And he purged us. He cleansed us from our sins. If that's not enough for you, what about his redemptive work as a king? So after Jesus has purged our sins on the cross, he sat down at the rest of verse 3, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This emphasizes Jesus' finality of his purification of our sins. He sets down the work, remains no more to do anymore. Jesus has completed the task, and now he's in a position of tremendous honor, and it means that now he lives and rules with authority and power. And it means that he's forever lifted up and sovereign over his enemies. We would do well to listen to our king. We have a world that's full of noise. There's a lot of voices in our life today. There's a lot of people that are striving for attention of your ear. They want your attention. They want your affection. They want to take your focus on anything else but the right things. Unfortunately, that might be your spouse. It might be your boss. It might be your friend. It might be a stranger. But all these different noises that we face in life can be deafening. The Hebrew writers tells us in Jesus, God the Father spoke fully and finally. And as Job looked out at the creation in Job 26 and verse 14, Job looked out at the creation and he recognized this is just the edges of his ways and of his rule and power. What you see in the physical creation is a mere whisper to what God is capable of. And Job goes on to say, what if God raised his voice? In Jesus Christ, God raised his voice and he spoke to us. And his word is assertive and it's assuring. And this reminds me of what happened at the Mount of Transfiguration when they saw Jesus in his glory. And what did God say? The Father spoke and he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. The question is, are we listening? Are we following him? Jesus spoke a message of salvation. He wants you to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're living a sinful life and you've been listening to everyone else besides the Christ, Repent of that and come back to Him. Please don't leave here with your sins. Leave here free from those things. Your opportunity is here now to come forward as we stand and we sing.